Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. Our guest speaker today is Evangelist Felipe Redlas. We want to truly thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join him now as he begins his message.
Well, church, the Lord has given me a word. Amen. The Lord has given me a word for you today. And, in 2 Timothy, the third chapter, it talks about in the last days there will be perilous times. And I believe I did minister along this chapter here. And my introduction was this. I invited everyone, made it official, to perilous times. I ministered here and I invited everybody. I want to welcome you to perilous times. We are living in perilous times. If you're living this life and you're trying to do the same thing, And it just, for some reason, it doesn't feel the same. It's like, man, I'm dressing up the same. I'm washing the same. I'm doing the same. I'm eating the same. I'm walking the same. I'm working at the same job. I'm hanging around with the same people. I'm talking about the same thing. But how come it doesn't feel the same? There's something in my spirit that's warring. Something is different. It's because the climate of this world, the climate of the atmosphere has changed. And it's because we're entering a time where the Lord is soon to come. And the Lord is warning us and is telling us that the time is near. A time that the Messiah is going to be showing up. And we have to prepare ourselves and know the signs of the time. These are the signs of the time. And I just want to go over a little bit of it. It says, for men will be lovers of themselves. At 2 Timothy 3, chapter number 3, and that in the second, it says, men will be lovers of themselves. So mankind, men and women. I don't know if you've ever seen this before, but I want to give you an example. Are you watching? Men, lovers of themselves. They don't care. I've seen this. I was like, what is that girl doing? I was at the airport, and, a woman right there and just sitting down. And, I thought she's fixing up her hair. Okay, that's fine. We can all do that. But no, man, she went deep. Woo. Do you notice that there's other people around you watching you? But they don't care. Why? Because it's not about others anymore. It's not about what you think or how you feel or how I interrupt your meal or your talk. There's a generation that doesn't care. Lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers. I mean, you're around some people that, man, they don't even understand how you're feeling. It could be a close relative, someone you grew up with. And they're so proudful, they're so pride that they don't even realize how proudful they are. How prideful they are. They don't realize it. Is it bad? Do you realize what you're saying? Why? Because it is the signs of the time. And here's some that you parents might know. Disobedient to parents. That's a sign of the time. Disobedient to parents. And you might have been one of them. Just disobedient. I mean, your parent could be right, right on the money, and you're still going to say no. You're still going to do the opposite. Y'all crazy. Unthankful. Unthankful. You ever give somebody loan money or you know, and they just said, it's like, that's right, I deserved it. I deserve you loaning me your car and paying my insurance. I deserve it. Just unthankful, not grateful. Unholy. Unloving. Unforgiving. You ever ask someone to forgive you? And it wasn't even your fault? And the other person just still won't get it. No, you're the one that needs to forgive, and you haven't asked for my forgiveness. Is that happening in your marriage? Unforgiving? Selfish? Just won't forgive. Slanderous. Without self-control. Brutal. Despisers of good. Traitors. Headstrong. Haughty. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness but denying its power. There's a power when you're in God. There's an authority when you're in God. Woo! That's the Holy Ghost. Having a form of godliness. But there are people that just come to church on Sunday. They just want to have a form of it. But never coming to the realization of the intimacy that God wants with each and every one of us. A personal relationship. It says, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people, it says to turn away. So we shouldn't be going to some powerless church. Ooh, ouch, huh? There's some churches, probably in this city, probably in this nation, I'm sure there is, that they're powerless. All they give you is the reading of the word. And that's it. There's no power involved. There's no authority involved. There's no empowerment to the people who are hearing the word. But when you hear this word, it is to empower you. It is to strengthen you. It is to change you. It's to better you. It's to further you. So you can be above and not beneath, the head and not the tail, blessed going in and blessed going out. There is power in God's word. There's a manifestation in God's word. Hallelujah. We shouldn't be the ones with our heads down. We should be the ones with our heads up. Not because we're prideful. It's because who we have in us. The hope of glory. Christ, the hope of glory. The anointed one. The glorious one. The mighty one. The almighty one. Hallelujah. We have power in Christ. So there are ones that are going to churches. It says to turn away from them. That's what the word says. From such people, turn away. They don't believe in the power. Run. For of this sort are those who creep into houses and make captives of gullible women, loading down with sin, led away by various lusts. Excuse me again, I can't hear. So always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. There are people that come and knock on your door. Hey, can I give you a Bible study? No power. And there's churches that are ever learning. Man, they know the word. They know the word. Man, they can tell you where it is. Bop, 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 bop. Ever learning, but never able to come to the truth. Everyone repeat that. Say, never able to come to the truth. I want you to remember that. I want you to highlight that if you have your Bible there. And so that brings me to our Luke 14, the chapter I'm going to be reading from, where the message is from. And it talks about Luke 14. Matthew, Mark, Luke 14. And it says, and it came to pass as he went into the house of one of the chief Pharisees. Okay, so this is the chief Pharisees. And Jesus went into that house for what? To eat bread on the Sabbath day. All right, just like we take off and we go eat, right? We get hungry, you know, after church, right? And we go to hometown buffet. We go out then and go get some food. Well, the same in those days, they go out and get some food. To go eat on the Sabbath day, and they watched him. They watched him. So they're watching out for Jesus. They were checking him out. There's, man, let's check this guy out, see what he's all about. You know, see if he's the real thing or not. See if he knows our laws. So, and Jesus realized this. He knows that these Pharisees are watching him. I'm not going to read the whole thing here, but it's, just check this out. And behold, there was one certain man before him which had the dropsy. And so Jesus uses this opportunity for this man that was ill. He sees a man that's ill, then so he uses, he seizes the moment. We as Christians, we must learn to seize the moment. All right? And he does just that. He says, and Jesus answering spake unto the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? And listen to what they said. And they held their peace. They're going to be, man, you're going to, why don't you hang yourself? We're going to watch you hang yourself. And they're waiting to have something against Jesus. And when you're a Christian, that's what people try to do. When you start coming to church, they'll try to hang you. So that's why you have to always watch your attitude, watch your actions, watch your words. Because there's people that, your own family, the ones who are closest to you are going to try to hang you. And they held their peace. Right? They just kept quiet. They considered that work, turning on a switch. So it had become so religious, and I don't see that in the Ten Commandments. Hey, don't turn on the switch for light, you know. But that's what begins to happen. So we as Christians have to be careful that we do not become religious. We cannot become religious. All right? But at the same time, obey God's word. Obey God's voice. So these sort of things were taking place, and Jesus was seizing the moment and teaching them, the Pharisees, the chief Pharisees, and all the Pharisees. And it goes on to say, on verse number 15, I'm skipping down to there. Now when one of those who has sat at the table with him heard these things, he said to Jesus, blessed is he who shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. So, you know, you ever around those people that, you know, like, you know what you're saying, you understand what you're saying, and you know the thing that you're saying, and then there's somebody has to come up and try to up one on you, right? Just try to up one on you, just upstage you, right? Just has to do something. So again, Jesus, he takes that opportunity. And he goes on to say in verse number 16. Excuse me. Then he said to him, a certain man gave a great supper and invited many. Here's Jesus speaking now. And he sent his servant at supper time to say to those who were invited, come, for all things are ready now. Come, for all things are ready now. Now, who is this man that Jesus is talking about? Well, he's talking about God. He's talking about the great supper that's going to happen in heaven. And how everyone is invited. So Jesus is now telling this story. He said, all things are ready now, come. But verse 18, it says, but they with one accord began to make excuses. The first one said to him, I have bought a piece of ground. I have bought a piece of land and I must go see about it. I ask you, please excuse me. Who is that servant? Servant is Jesus Christ. He has come and stretching out his hand and his word to us. I don't know if you all are Christians here or not, but this is what exactly what Jesus is doing today. He's saying, come. He's saying to you, come. Come to this great supper. Come to this great banquet. I want you to come. So he's inviting everyone. And that same servant, we are the many Jesuses. And we are now the servants of God, and it's our obligation to do what Jesus has started. And that's inviting people to come to the great banquet, to come to the table. Hallelujah. And in that table is healing. At that table, there's deliverance. At the table is blessings. And that's why we have to reach out to the world and tell a man, you can be healed at the table. You can be delivered at the table. You can be set free at the table. You can have blessings at the table. So God sends Jesus. And he's calling the people, but he starts giving an excuse. I got to go check on this piece of land I bought. You know, I bought some apartments, and I got to go check it out. I can't go to the feast. I'm a little busy. I'm sorry, Pastor Fee, but I can't make it. Can't make it on Sunday. I got to check on this piece of land I bought in Temecula. I'm sorry, Pastor G. I just can't go help and pass out tracts that Saturday. I got to go check out this land I bought. Yeah, I know I bought it last year, but I want to check it out on Sunday. He says, I ask you to have me excused. I got to go check out the land. And so there's another one they go to. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I'm going to test them out. I ask you to have me excused. 5 yoke of oxen. Man, I just bought a Mercedes-Benz, man. I want to go. Man, it's all-wheel drive. Man, it has anti-skid, anti-turning. Man, the Bluetooth, it tells me where all the police are. I got to go try it out. I got to try out my oxen. I just go try out my Ram's truck, 3500, man. Woo! I'm going to go try it out at Big Bear. Ride them mountains. Sorry. Pastor Fee, I just can't make it. I gotta try out my John Deere tractor on the land. It's brand new. It's the latest and the greatest. I gotta try out my Cadillac. It combs my hair. I got to go test them out. I got to test out these oxen. I ask you, please have me excused. I heard a little something about on the internet. I heard how certain people make excuses. They ask the HR, hey, what kind of excuses do people make that they couldn't make it to their jobs? And one of them said, I couldn't find anything to wear. I just couldn't find anything to wear. Man, I couldn't make it to work on Monday because the Chargers left San Diego. I can't make it to work. I'm so disappointed. That I just made that one up. That wasn't on the internet. But one of them was about their team lost, and they couldn't go to work because they were so disappointed. So there were excuses after excuses about why I can't go to work. If you were their boss, what would you think? What would you say? Next. Like Donald Trump, right? You're fired. Uh-huh. I ask you, have me excused. Still another said, I have married a wife.
And he just said, therefore I cannot come. He didn't say, excuse me. He said, man, I can't go. I just married a wife. You know. I just married a wife. I cannot go. I cannot come.
So that servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house was angry and said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes and of the city and bring in the poor, the maimed, the lame, and the blind. And the servant said, master, it is done as you commanded. So now God is commanding us, hallelujah, to go out and to reach the poor, the lame, the maimed, all those that can't afford anything, the poor, those who are the outcast of the society. He says, go and get them and bring them to my supper. Jesus. And that is our job. Our job is to go out and reach those that are outcasts. Those who are broken. Those who are hurting. You know, all of you have clothes you're wearing. They don't look tore up. They don't look like they have holes, except those jeans now, they call them fashion, with holes. You paid $60 for or so. Busted. How much you paid?
I actually ripped mine with my kids. Sorry.
They're fashionable now. But there are those who do not have nice clothes. And every time you pass by them, there's a certain stench. Why? Because that's the only clothes, whatever they may have. But God is saying, go out into the streets and the highways and byways and bid them to come. Go out to the hurting, the ones that are kicked to the side, the ones they talk about, the ones they make fun of. You see, that first bunch that we were talking about go and they said, hey, I got to go see about a piece of land. Hey, I got to try my oxen. Man, I just got married, dude. I can't go. I was talking about Israel. And they did not respond to that call. They did not accept the Lord Jesus Christ. So now God is going out even more to the Gentiles, which they call dogs. If you're not Jewish, full-blooded Jew, you were considered a dog. I'm a Chihuahua, like many of you. We were considered dogs. But Jesus came and stretched out his hand toward us that we can be saved. But we are that servants now. Now, God, Lord Jesus Christ, is passing down the baton to us. That for us to go out to the highways and the hedges. The Word of God says that the master of the house, God, was very angry. He said to his servant, go out quickly to the streets, the lanes of the city, and bring the poor, the maimed, the lame, and the blind. And the servant said, master, it is done as you have commandment and as you have commanded, and still there is room. I want you to look beside you. Raise your hand if your row has an empty seat. Everybody raised their hand. You know why? Because each row has an empty seat. God wants his house to be full. Bring your children, bring your neighbor, bring your classmate, bring your co-worker, bring someone to the house of God. We must reach out to the souls that are lost. There are hurting people that's living in your household, that has your family name. There are hurting those, hey, prima, what's up? How's everything? Oh, great. Loca, that's great. Everything's good. The kid, they're lying. You're at school. And they're all laughing. Oh, he's so cute. Oh, oh, he's so fine. Oh, he looked at me today. And all the girls, and they think it's all fine. But you know what? One of them girlfriends are hurting. And all they're looking for is someone to tell them to come to the house of the Lord. To come to the banquet where there is food. Hallelujah. Being served. The word of God is being served that heals, that delivers, that sets free. Hallelujah. That can bring you from being a doper to someone who's bringing hope. I always think about Pastor Fee. Man, he was a doper. He was messed up. Drugs. He did dope, but now he's bringing hope. He's feeding the word now. That's why you're here, to hear the word of God. God, speak to me. Heal me. Deliver me. Hallelujah. But after you've eaten the word of God and tasted the goodness of heaven, the goodness of the Holy Ghost, the presence of God, now it's up to us to tell that next poor person, the next lame person, the next blind person, where I got the food. I remember bringing around some homeless and how they help each other. You know, I mean, I don't know the deep society of it, but man, I think after they get their peace, they'll go tell another homeless person, hey, they're giving away food over there, some sandwiches. If you're without Jesus Christ in your life, you are homeless. I don't care if you live in a mansion. I don't care if you have a Mercedes, the top, you have a plane, you have a jet. If you don't have Jesus, you're homeless. You're lame. You're blind. And you're poor. Go out to the highways and hedges. And the word of God says, and compel them. Everyone say compel. Compel them to come in. That's a Greek word. And what compel means is necessitate, constrain. Constrain in the dictionary means to drive or urge forcefully, irresistibly, to cause, to do, or occur by overwhelming pressure. By overwhelming pressure. Constrain them to drive or urge forcefully. By overwhelming pressure. Necessitate. Necessary. Require. Force. Compel them to come. Come here, brother. Hermano. I need to use you. So here I am. It could be a primo hermano. It could be someone in the streets just chilling. Could be smoking some weed or something. You know, it's legal now. So go ahead. Go ahead, brother. Pretend like you're smoking or something like that. Yeah, so you're a sinner, right? Drinking and cussing. Blah, 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 blah. So, Cristiano, now I'm coming. Compel them to come. Hey, I want to tell you about Jesus. Say, I don't need Jesus. Say, go ahead. I don't need Jesus. But, you, man, he'll give you new life. He'll fill the void in your heart. No, don't need to go to church. No. The Bible says constrain them. Let's go, man. We're going now. I'm taking them forcefully. Not exactly, right? But that's the image that the word is giving us to compel. Man, dude, look, man, I'll treat you to dinner. You know what? You don't have any money to fix your brakes, but you know what? If you come to church with me, I'll fix your brakes, dude. Deal? Orale, deal. Okay. Amen. I just forced them by money. Buy some tacos every night. So the word is telling to compel, to constrain them to come. There's an urgency and there's an importance that God is telling us to step out and do something. What we have, what we've learned, what we have received. God wants not only to bless you, but bless others. And God is telling us, go out into the highways and the byways and compel them to come in. That my house may be filled. That's what the word says. For I say unto you that none of those men who were invited shall taste my supper. So in other words, look, there are many that have been invited, but they didn't come. And the Lord is saying they're not going to taste of my supper. Verse 25, now a great multitudes went with him, and he turned aside to them. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his mother or father, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. There is an intimacy that God wants us to have with him. He has to be number one. He has to be number one. Like Pastor Fee was saying, man, my number one goal in life was to be a Hollywood actor. And I made it. I did it. I was there. They told me, sign a contract. Manager said $20,000 a week if you sign the contract to do a soap opera, be one of the leads. Man, that was my life. That was since a little boy, I wanted to be an actor. And man, boom, I got it. I was there. But I got an invitation to go to Bible study. And I went to this Bible study, and God gave me new wine. And he gave me bread. He gave me his body. He gave me his blood. Hallelujah. And my back was messed up. I couldn't carry 10, 15 pounds. Kind of walked hunched over. I always have to work up hard. And he filled me with the Holy Ghost on dismissal prayer. They didn't tell me how to be saved. They were just dismissing. You got to tell people how to be saved. Repent of your sins. Be baptized in the name of the Lord. And be filled with the Holy Spirit. Learn the word. Live for God. Listen to him. Obey him and go. Tell somebody else. So we see in the word of God here, church, that we see all these excuses. And God is not going to take excuses. And what I get from here in the word of God, what God wants to tell us today, it's time to do no more excuses. God wants us to be like Christ and go reach out to the world, the hurting people, and tell them and bid them and compel them to come in to Christ. God wants to stretch our faith a little more. We have to be, as the word says in James 1 and 22, go ahead and go there, mark it down. This is important for all the believers. James 1, 22. Starting at 22, it says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. James 1:22 in the Living Testament, it says, a New Living Testament, it says, but don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourself. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves, do what it says. James 1:22 again in the Amplified Version. But prove yourselves doers of the word. Prove yourselves doers of the word. Everyone says doer. Actively and continually obeying God's precepts, obey his command, obey his word, obey his voice, and not be merely listeners who hear the word but fail to internalize its meaning, deluding yourselves by unsound reasoning contrary to the truth. Don't reason with yourself not to do what God is asking you what to do. Don't reason with yourself. Don't excuse yourself. Don't justify yourself in not doing what God has called us to do. You are hired by the Lord. Just like I was sharing a little bit about those testimonies about HR saying the excuses that people didn't come to work. I didn't have the right clothes. I'll make up some. I had a bad hair day. Huh? Spent, too long on the telephone yesterday. They unlike me on Facebook. That's the unlike, right? Unlike, right? Is that how you say it? Unlike? Yeah. I'm not on Facebook. I keep my face in the book. Ooh, shata. You know, that Facebook, all that media, you guys have to be careful because that's digital relationship. Digital relationship. God wants to be face to face with us. Church, what God is saying is no more excuses 2018. Why? Because we are in perilous times. And the harvest has to come in. The harvest is ready. You don't have to be a preacher. You don't have to be a pastor. You don't have to be an evangelist. You don't have to be an apostle. You don't have to be a teacher. You don't have to be a apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. You don't have to be that. You just have to be a follower of Christ. And Jesus is calling us to begin to share his word, his name to someone else. Well, brother, I don't know the Bible, but you have a testimony. You have a testimony. You know what God has done for you. And if you don't have a testimony, you can borrow somebody else's. Borrow somebody else's. I'm always borrowing testimonies. I have a testimony, yes, but you know what? I'll borrow a testimony. Has anybody battled with cancer here before? Raise your hand. Battling or battled with cancer before? Okay. Well, praise the Lord. Okay, you've battled with it. So, thank God I've never had cancer. But I know someone that did. My wife. And I remember the crying nights. And she was pregnant with my little baby girl. And all the professional doctors, 4 or 5 doctors say, abort the baby, remove body parts, and go aggressively on chemotherapy. But I get my face in the book. And there's a word from God that said that we are healed by his stripes. Woo! There's healing underneath his there's healing underneath his wings. To lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Hallelujah. So we believed and trust God's word. And stand on his word. Stood on his word. You know, more my wife. The wife is the one that really was going through it. And she stood. She believed. We prayed. 4 or 5 professional doctors abort the baby. Remove body parts. Go aggressively on chemotherapy. And I have my beautiful little 17-year-old girl this tall, and she's a warrior. And whoo, and she's being used by God. And being used by God. And a leader. And a fighter. She's a warrior. I mean, she's like a Latina ninja. A beautiful one, too. And we named her Abigail Faith. Her middle name was Faith because of what everything that she went through. If we would have yielded to the doctors, I would have never had her. So I had to borrow a testimony. But God's word is true. And today, God wants you to make a commitment, church. How many Christians do we have that follow really Jesus Christ? Raise your hand if you follow Jesus Christ here. All right, amen. So every one of you, hallelujah, I see you. Every one of you need to take a step of faith. Everyone say step of faith. Every one of us need to stretch out your faith. Everyone say stretch out my faith. We need to stretch out this year, church. We need to stretch. We need to stretch. The more you stretch in faith, the more you do for God and begin to share the love of Jesus Christ, begin to share his goodness, his kindness, his healing virtue, the more you do that, the more he blesses you. You become a funnel. You imagine a funnel of blessings coming through you from God? Whew. It's awesome. It's awesome that he'll begin to use you. You're like a funnel and begin to use, and he begins to cleanse you, begins to bless you, and he begins to stand for you. He begins to do things for you. And the thing is that it's not a guessing game. It's that you know he did. Oh, that was just coincidence. You don't know if it was God or not. Oh, coincidence. But when you begin to stretch, you begin to tell. You might not be much of a talker, but you have a track. Here's where I go. Come to the banquet. The more you do, the more God becomes more real to you. You begin to fill him with you. You begin to walk with you. You begin to speak with you. You know he's there. It's an amazing and beautiful experience to have with God. Who's experienced seeing Jesus before? Raise your hand. 1, 2, 3. 4, 5. See, there's some people that experience Jesus coming in. I've seen him, I just haven't seen his face yet. He showed me parts of his body, but I haven't seen his face. So I'm still looking. I'm still seeking. I'm still waiting. The word of God says, seek and you shall find. Knock, it shall be open unto you. Ask, you shall receive. Seek, you shall find. Knock, and it shall be open unto you. Church, make a commitment today and be doers of the word. Turn to somebody, say, be a doer today. Be a doer of the word. Be a doer of the word. Everyone say, be a doer of the word. And that's what God wants from us, to be a doer of the word. And I know many of us have not been a doer of God's word. You kept the goods to yourself. You kept the blessings to yourself, and you have not shared, and you have not compelled men to come. Because that's what God had put in my heart. He's given each and every one of you certain gifts. And those gifts will reach out to others. And you could tell people about the goodness of the Lord. We are now entering the prayer of 4 nights of prayer. And God wants us to be clear of sin, of self-righteousness, and clear of being one of those who are not doers. Just coming on Sunday, Wednesday, but never telling anybody about Jesus. So will you all stand? Second Chronicles 7:14 says this, and this is one of the reasons why I believe that the world is in a mess right now, why America is in a mess right now, why California is in a mess right now.
It's all found right here in the scripture in 2 Chronicles 7:14. It says, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." Land could be your own personal body. Land could be your personal marriage. Land could be your family. Land could be your house. Land could be your job. Land could be your city. Land could be your state. Land could be your country. But God wants us to humble ourselves before Him. God wants us to seek Him. God wants us to turn from our wicked ways. You know what a wicked way is? A wicked way is you're not doing what God has called you to do. A wicked way is that you have a habit that you know that God is not pleased with. Having sex and you're not married. Getting drunk. Partying. No difference between the world and you. If we can't tell a difference, oh, they sound the same, cuss the same, they're laughing at the same dirty jokes, they're seeing who gets drunk first, who has the buzz first. Seeing. There has to be a separation. And God is calling His people to humble themselves and to seek. That takes action to seek Him. Make time for Jesus. He wants you to make time with Him. Make time. Whatever time you get up, make time to give Him time. You wake up at 6 o'clock, wake up at 5:45. Why? I'm going to give you time, Lord. Make a commitment this year that you're going to make a consistent place, a time with God. If you can't do 15 minutes, do 10. If you can't do 10, do 5. If you can't do 5, do 60. But give Him something. Yes. Everyone say that. Say, I will give Him, something. Yes. And prayerfully that time will begin to be more time and more time. Why? Because you begin to enjoy it. Yes. Woo! Because there's no greater lover than Jesus. And if you don't know that, well, you haven't got there yet. Man, there's a place you can be in God that no sex, drugs, and rock and roll is better than it. I'm telling you. But right now, what I want everyone to invite you to do is I just want you to come to the altar. Everyone, just come to the altar. We don't need the musicians right now. We just want everyone just to come to the altar because we're starting our four nights of prayer. And the best time, what I've learned, hallelujah, what I've learned when blessings fall, and I've seen God just fall upon thousands and thousands of people, the Holy Ghost and blessings, and it starts with repenting. It starts with repentance. So everyone, we just, right where you are, wherever you may be, can't make it to the altar, it's okay. But just close your eyes, just bow your heads before the Lord. And I want you to just say this. Say, Lord Jesus, forgive me of all my sins. Forgive me of the habits that are not pleasing to you. The desires of my heart that are not pleasing to you. Forgive me, Lord. Deliver me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Set me free, Lord. Change me today, Lord. I want to be one who pleases you in every way. Lord, forgive me. Help me. Lord, I don't want to be popular with my friends. I want to be popular with you.
Help me, Lord, not to desire things of the world, but desire the things of heaven. To desire more of your word, more of your presence, more of your blessings, more of your promises, more of your love. Jesus, give me more love to love you with, to love the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, the lost. God, give me compassion. Give me the eyes, the heart, to see like you see, to feel like you feel. Lord, change me today. So I will be one that don't have to give an excuse. Lord, no excuses for 2018. Lord, search my heart. If there be any wicked way, any wicked thing in my heart, reveal it to me, Lord. Reveal it to me, Lord. Bring it to my mind that I may confess it before you. Let just God bring it to your mind right now what God wants you to give up. Who you need to forgive. Let God bring to that person, situation, who you need to forgive. And as God shows you, begin to confess it. Just begin to let it go. Mouth it out. Speak it out. Not in your mind. Speak it out. If you have to make a way away from someone, then do it that way. But forgive. Forgive your spouse. Forgive your children. Forgive your teacher. Forgive your coach. Forgive your friend. Forgive your ex. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And just say, Lord, hallelujah. I want you to say, Lord, forgive me for not being a doer. I just come to church, and that's all I do. I need to go out and invite people to the great supper. Change me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Heal me, Lord. Create in me a new heart, a new way. Change me now, Lord. Change me today, Lord. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Come on, clap your hands to the Lord and give him thanks. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I know the message was a little crazy like I usually am, but this is what God wanted us to receive. Receive that word, not only again, don't be hearers of the word, but now be doers. Hallelujah. In fact, when you're going out today, you should try it out. Challenge each other. If you have a boyfriend, girlfriend, spouse, he's like, hey, you go first. You invite that person. Take a couple of bulletins or something. Boom, just invite. They throw it on the ground, spit on your face. Hey, just thank you, Jesus. You know, go on. They didn't crucify you, right? And if they did, thank you, Jesus. I'm going on to glory. So let's make a stand for Christ. Let's try not to be popular with others, be popular with the Lord. Let's do what God has called us to do. Let us shine for Jesus. Hallelujah, not shine for my peers, my classmates, friends, but shine for Jesus. Amen. Come on, clap your hands to the Lord one time. Hallelujah. So does anybody need prayer? If anybody needs prayer for anything, healing or anything, just come forward and we'll pray with you. And at this time, I'll just pass it on to Pastor Fee. Hopefully, we'll see you all tonight. Listen, God has given me some more things to tell the church, and I'm sure God's going to, if you missed last year, boy, we had a time last year. Amen. Man, we had a time. God visit us. His presence visit us. We started woo, we started dancing from the presence of God came in. It was amazing. It was beautiful. So please come back. We're starting tonight. 6:30. 6:30 tonight. Be here. Be square. And invite somebody here at the fellowship hall. Pastor Fee.
If you're listening right now on the internet, and maybe you just were surfing the net, you came across Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, and you're hearing this message right now, and you may not even know who Jesus is, I'm going to ask you right now to pray with me that God will show himself mighty to you. He will come and visit you right now by faith. Pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I thank you. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I do believe that you died for me. I believe, God, that the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me of all my sins. And on the third day, you rose again to give me life and life more abundantly. Lord Jesus, forgive me now, God, of all my sins. Come into my heart and make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I'll do my best to serve you, Lord, all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed this prayer by faith, God, through the authority of his word, has saved you. I pray that you would find a Bible-believing church and that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And all of our sermons, all of our notes, all of our PowerPoints are free at charge. Just download them from your computer and be blessed.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.